Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Okay, so we are in a new series, and we started last weekend, and we got some folks' attention. We got some people talking a little bit about this, because we title it WTF. Not exactly a title you would expect to have on a sermon in church. But the title stands for Why Trust Feelings. And so last week we did this, and we decided again this week that we would hit the streets and ask some people their thoughts about trusting feelings. So you may be seated as you have a look at the screens.
All right, we're back at it again, week two of Why Trust Your Feelings. And this week, we're going to hit the streets, and we're going to ask people, do they trust their feelings, and what do they base their decisions off of, feelings or something else? So let's go find out. Do you think it's always good to make decisions based on your feelings?
No.
If feelings were your girlfriend, would you trust her?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
Why would you trust her?
Because they're my feelings.
Because they're your feelings, okay. But a minute ago you said you don't always trust your feelings.
Fair.
I'm from Arkansas originally, so I'm more of a faith-based type person, so my decisions have to be based on that.
Okay, what's something in your life that you haven't really been feeling, but you know that you should do?
Sometimes I not feeling going to work, but that's something that I should do. You know, I gotta, you know, pay the bills out here.
My eating habits, honestly. You know, I should be eating vegetables, but I'm over here eating chili and chips, so.
Do you ever base decisions off of your feelings?
A lot of the times, yeah.
Do you think that's the best way to make decisions?
A lot of the times, no.
Do you trust your feelings? Why or why not, Lexi?
I used to, prior to last weekend's message, I used to trust my feelings. But moving forward, no, because my feelings have gotten me in trouble.
Do you trust your feelings?
Yes, I do. Definitely.
Why do you definitely trust your feelings?
Because they've always led me the right path. Okay. So far, it has been good. So, yeah, I trust my feelings.
When you make a decision, what do you base your decision off of?
I base my decision off of facts and research and usually consulting my husband and deciding what's best for our family.
That was very thought out, well answered. Thank you so much.
All right, so turn to somebody next to you and ask them that question. Why trust feelings? Why trust feelings? Turn around to your second choice person and ask them, come on, why trust feelings? You might get the idea that we are wanting this to go from just being a sermon or a series to actually being a conversation. And I want to encourage you that when church is all over, that you carry on the conversation. There's a complexity to this that we admit to that is best fleshed out when we talk about it. And so talk about it with your family, your friends, even people maybe at work that you don't know. You can hear how we're doing it and ask some questions and interact and talk about and discuss this whole topic of why is it that we put our trust in feelings. Maybe even come to a life group this week on Wednesday to talk it out. And let's have some great conversations on this topic. And I know that we'll grow, we'll learn, we'll be better because of it. So if you're ready for the message, just say, my heart's open, my mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, a big amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 reads like this. We live by faith, not by sight. Let's say that together. Say, we live by faith, not by sight. One more time. We live by faith, not by sight. So often what people start by faith is ended by a feeling. In other words, we all start with good decisions typically. Like we, you know, decisions that are congruent with the desires of our heart, things that leap within us. And sometimes it's the first of the year when that happens, and then it happens throughout the year. And we make these decisions that, you know, especially as God's people, decisions that we feel like is God's plan for our life. And decisions that are congruent with where we want to be and what we want our life to look like in the future. I like to call it acts of faith. You know, that we're not just talking about faith. We have action that is congruent with a life of faith. Things like putting God first. You know, I'm going to put God first. And decisions to serve, to read our Bible, to give. Eat good, think good, get in better shape, go to counseling. The list goes on and on. But here's what I want to say at the beginning of this message is that oftentimes what starts by faith is ended by a feeling. Feelings that you can't trust. And here's a little list of those that you're going to have a look at, and this goes on from here, but let's look at a few of them. Discouragement, for example, and I group up defeat, hopeless, despair. How many of you know that just when you feel discouraged and you look at your life sometimes, you're like, why am I discouraged? Like it doesn't make sense. David did this in the Bible. He had a talk to himself, and he said, here was his words. He said, why are you downcast, oh my soul? In other words, you got no reason like to be downcast. God's good, and there's good things going on, and yet you're down. Anxiety. Everything that you do in your life, you'll do better with confidence. So if you're going for a job interview, for example, and you feel a little anxious, you and I both know that anxiety can actually cause you to not do as well in the job interview. If you're going to give a talk at work or a speech of some kind, when you have anxiety at, you know, a tough conversation with a friend or a family member, anxiety can mess stuff up, those worries and fears and self-doubt. How many of you know we are fearfully and wonderfully made? We are not an accident. We are not here by coincidence. And yet we have feelings of self-doubt and inferiority and insecurity. And we often feel unqualified in areas that we're qualified for. We often feel shame whenever God's forgiven us for what we're feeling shame about in our life. Just say this with me. Say, shame off you. Say, shame off me. See, those are the kind of verbal things that you have to do sometimes whenever you're realizing I'm not going to trust my feeling. And so you counter it with a statement of faith that says, shame off me. I am forgiven. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to feel ashamed about that thing that happened back there and let it keep bringing me down. Shame off me. I am a child of God. Right? Feelings of being helpless. And I like to tell people this. We often feel helpless. But there's always something that you can do. I said there's always something you can do. You can't control the weather, but you can buy an umbrella. You can't control other people's decisions, but you can pray for them. There's always something that you can do, and yet many people just feel helpless and incompetent and incapable, and they live in this prison of helplessness. Feelings of fear, feelings of uncertainty, feelings of offense, feeling like I'm being overlooked, I'm not being considered. These are feelings, feelings, feelings that get into our life. And, you know, you are going to feel offended, but you don't have to live offended. You don't have to trust that feeling. You can come up against that feeling. So we make dozens of decisions in our life every day. And it starts with just simple stuff like, you know, do I hit the snooze or do I get out of bed? And then things we don't even actually realize are decisions that we're making every day. Subconsciously, we're just deciding what to talk about, how to spend our time, who to spend our time with. And every decision itself doesn't feel significant, but when you add them all up over a month or a year or a lifetime, those little decisions shape your life and determine your destiny. And this is why I'm feeling so passionate here right now about talking to you about this thing with feelings. You can't, you know, thank God we have feelings. Does anybody like to feel good? I know I do. But everything where there's an upside and a blessing from God, there's a downside to beware of. And that's why we talk about it like this. It's, you know, we're human, we have feelings, but that doesn't mean we have to trust our feelings. Because your best life is not going to be lived by feelings. Your best life is lived by acts of faith. So if you want your best future, feelings are not your friend. Feelings change based on how much sleep you got the night before because your daughter had a sleepover. Or feelings change based on the weather. The song that you're listening to in the moment can change how you feel. Feelings can change just by the people that you are with. So feelings lie to you. Feelings deceive you. Feelings will ruin your day. Feelings will mess up your week. Feelings will destroy your life. And that's why I'm asking why. Why? 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 You can tell me all you want. Well, it's led me down the right path. Why? Because it's led you down the wrong path too. What you might be talking about could be innate intelligence. It could be a divine word from God. Those are not feelings. Those shouldn't be classified in the emotional realm. We're talking about the power of feelings to mislead us, cause us to make bad decisions, mess up our choices, which then have a negative impact on our lives. So why? Why? I know you can't talk back. I guess I love that about it. Why? Trust feeling. Some of the best decisions you can make in your life will be decisions that you don't feel like making. The best decision. The Bible says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Mission accomplished. The night before he took the cross and walked, he pled with God, if there's any way around this, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing this. Some of the best decisions you can make in your life will be decisions that you don't feel like making. You remember the story in the Bible about Simon Peter? He had fished all night, hadn't caught anything, and that was his livelihood, basically. And he comes back to shore, he's cleaning up the nets. Jesus walks along and looks at him and gets in a conversation and says, "Hey, how about you go back fish a little bit? Go back out, cast your net down on the other side." Now, Peter lets us in on what's going on in his mind by the first word out of his, or not the first word, but in the sentence that he says back. And so I'm imagining that Peter's like, "Okay, you're just saying put the net down on the other side of the boat. You know, you must not know a whole lot about fishing, first of all. But you do have a great reputation, and I have heard about you." I'm imagining his mind right there, because here's what he actually said. He said, "I've been fishing all night, and I haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. At your word, I will." Say that with me. "At your word, I will." Come on. "At your word, I will." Say it again. "At your word." And this is what we're talking about, church, people of God. This is what we're talking about, that place in our life where we have an opportunity to either go with how we feel or make the best decision that we can make, even though we don't feel like making it. He did what Jesus told him to do. He went back out and he caught boatloads of fish, so much fish that he had to share it with everybody around him. If you would have been interviewing him that day and had a mic in his mouth and asked him, "Are you glad you did that?" he would have absolutely said, "Yes, I'm so glad. That was a great decision." But it wasn't a decision that he felt like making. So what I'm saying to you today is that God rewards acts of faith. Some of you didn't feel like coming to church this weekend, but you pushed past the feeling and you got here. Some of you haven't felt like raising your hands or worshiping God. You've had a really tough time, maybe even this week. Maybe you're in a difficult season in your life. And I just want to remind you that some of the best decisions that you can make are decisions you don't feel like making. You thank him even when you don't feel like thanking him. You honor him even when you don't feel like honoring him. And then after you do that, the blessing and the reward comes into your life. Some of the decisions that you're afraid to make are the decisions that will set you free. Set you free. I just want everyone to consider, what is a decision in your life that you are fearful of making, afraid to make? Maybe we would just call it even hesitant to make. I would say there's probably some of you that have heard about Celebrate Recovery but are afraid to actually come, because it might mean risking exposure. It might mean people knowing a little bit more about you. I would say there's some of you that actually would say, "I really want to be more part of the church," but you are hesitant to go to Growth Track, where you're going to interact with people, meet people, and it just feels kind of awkward and uncomfortable for you to actually do that. There's different situations that are in our life and opportunities that are in front of us that literally are the decision that will set us free. There's some of you, I thank God for every person who is willing and eager. We've had hundreds and hundreds of people go through what we call Financial Peace University. And Financial Peace University is going on right now. And there's some of you that really need to get in an environment like that and to learn about financial management in your own life and how to get through where you're at right now and to get onto a better place. But you feel intimidated. You feel bothered, you feel afraid. Am I talking to anyone? Can you hear what I'm saying? What is it about, you know, what is it about us? And so if you can just look at this in a factual way, it might feel a little bit, I don't know. But some of the decisions that you're afraid to make are the decisions that will literally set you free. But your feelings are trying to hold you back. Two of the most important areas of your life where you are most likely to make emotional decisions is, look at this, is in your finances, in your money, and in your relationship. I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about these two areas and the emotional dynamics that we feel sometimes in these two areas of our life. First of all, with money decisions, we don't make good financial decisions based on how we feel. If emotions determine our financial decisions, some people would waste money. Some people would give away too much money. Some people would keep too much for themselves. I mean, if you want a financial disaster or crisis in your life, all you got to do is spend your money like you feel like spending your money. That's so true. And they call it in the purchasing world, they call it buyer's remorse. People get caught up in a feeling. They sign the papers. And then they walk away and they're like, oh, what did I do? Right? And so what you have, think of this, let's have a little fun with it. First of all, it's like you get caught up in the feeling of yeah, I got to have it, I got to do that, I got to buy that house, we got to. And then we walk away and this other negative feeling hits us and it's called regret. And it's like a 1-2 punch. Delivered by feelings. Why trust feelings? Let's talk about what the Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, about giving. It says everybody ought to give what you have decided. Look at that word, decided. Talking about decisions, making decisions, what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right here is why we encourage what we call planned giving at Champion Center. So we hand out cards to people, and we make it available. We don't ask for anything back. It's yours. You take it home, you fill it out, and it just kind of sits on your dresser, or you put it on your refrigerator, or wherever, and it's your planned approach to giving. Because when it comes to our finances, the best thing we can do is to have a plan for our spending, for our saving, for our giving. That's the best thing we can do. And have percentage-based giving in our life. So what the scripture's saying here, I mean, they didn't have recurring giving, but he did say, here's what he said in another place. He said, so don't wait till you get to church to decide what you're going to give. Prepare your offering before you get there. I'm not making that up. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Like, prepare. So what we're saying is don't do this with a feeling kind of thing, because it can go either way on you. You can come to church, and when we get ready for giving time, you can go, oh, man, here we go again, talking about money. I don't know what I got. I don't know what I brought. And you feel weird. You feel shame. You've been going by your feelings. You spent too much in the wrong place. Now you feel condemned. Some people get mad that we even bring it up in church. Like, all kinds of emotional stuff goes along with it, right? Or you can plan your giving, and then it's like, feel good. Yeah, I'm giving. You bet I'm giving. I'm a giver. I honor the Lord. And I'm expecting God's blessing on my life. And that's what the scripture's talking about here, is not under compulsion, not reluctantly. Under compulsion, at Champion Center, we work really hard to find that balance, because there's one way or the other you can go here. And we know this, and that is that you can go over into manipulating people with the topic and putting unnecessary pressure and inappropriate pressure on people in their giving. But you also, we feel a responsibility to inspire people to give, to tell them what Scripture says about giving, and to encourage giving. So you're walking through this kind of trying to balance it out, because it's not human nature. We're born selfish. So in obedience to God's plan, we have a responsibility to teach people to be givers. But we also know that if we're just manipulating people and they're only giving out of compulsion, that's really short-lived. And if they're giving reluctantly, that's not the way to give either. So if we decide in advance, we end up over here being what? Being a cheerful giver. Not a feeling-driven giver. Oh, thank you. I got one hand clap going. And hey, I was talking to a friend just this past week, and he was telling me how proud he was of his wife, and he went on to say, man, about 10 years ago or so, he said, I've always been kind of the fitness person in our family. And about 10 months ago, my wife decided she's going to get up at 5 a.m. every day, and she's going to the gym, she's going to work out, and then she comes back home and gets the kids up and gets them ready for school and you know, gets them off to school. And like he said, like, man, she's been doing this, like, she's a beast right now. Like, she's up in the morning at 5 days a week. And he's just kind of bragging on his wife. And then he looked me in the eye and he said, look, my wife, she's always looked good to me, but Pastor, she is smoking hot right now. Then he went on to say, we sat down in January and there were two things that came to our mind. Like he said, we asked ourselves, what do we want to do with our finances this year? And there were two big things. One of them, we want to take a vacation together as a couple. And I interrupted and I said, does that have anything to do with her being smoking hot right now or anything like that? But and we were laughing and having fun. And then he said, the other thing is we want to give more to the future vision of our church. We want to see our church fulfill the vision that it has to move forward. So he said, we tithe, and we've been giving to that, but we want to give more. So then he goes on to tell me, he says, so we sat down in January and we looked at our finances really, really close. You know what's really cool, Pastor? He said, this is what's really cool. He said, we have rearranged our income and we are actually taking a vacation, the two of us. And he said, we're also giving twice the amount above our tithe that we gave last year to the future vision of our church. And here's why I'm telling you this story. Maybe because I'm in this series, but my head immediately went to this. I wonder how different this conversation would be if feelings were in control of their decisions. Because I've had a lot of those conversations. Like, we're not doing good, we don't get along, we got no attraction to one another. Financially, we're always struggling. And you know when I tell you this, that wife doesn't feel like getting up every morning at 5 a.m. And you know that the disciplined decisions they're making are not going to be feeling driven along the way to fulfilling their goals this year. But yet, he's there with his head up and he's excited about what's happening in their relationship, and I couldn't help but think this could be totally different if these guys were making feeling-based decisions. Why trust feelings? Why trust feelings? Why trust? Am I getting my point across? Like, am I helping? Am I encouraging? Feelings can hinder you from being in the right relationship and attract you into the wrong ones. Can I get an amen? Amen. Like, just because someone is good to you doesn't mean they are good for you. It's better to be alone than it is to be with the wrong people. Proverbs says this, the righteous choose their friends, choose their friends, choose their friends carefully. Not like, I just like being with them. I don't know, I just like I'm comfortable. We'll talk about that in a minute. Walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise, become wise, companion of fools. Don't say, well, you know what? It doesn't influence me. It doesn't really bother me. They don't have any effect on me. You're wrong. Whoever you hang out with is going to have, it's like secondhand smoke. It gets on you. Next one, iron sharpens iron. One person sharpens another. So anybody here want to be the best you can be? Anybody really have it in your mind that when I'm all done and I stand before my Creator, like I wanna stand there with my head held high and know that I fought through some negative stuff and I overcame some things, that some attractions that were pulling me away from the path God had me on. Like, I want to stand there knowing I have fought a good fight. I didn't give in to the momentary feelings that I was feeling, but I overcame. Anybody, you want to be a champion, you want to overcome, you want to stand before God knowing you had courage. So I talked to young adults today, like, you're going to feel lonely. And the best thing you can do when you feel lonely is to not talk about feeling lonely. Talk about the blessing of God. Talk about the blessings of being single. I was talking to a young lady not long ago, and she said, I'm almost 30. And I don't know, like, nobody on the horizon. And I'm like, yeah, but you get to go home tonight, and you don't have to cook for nobody. And you might have left the house like undone today and ain't nobody looking at it. Like, you just crank up the stereo and have yourself a dance, or you watch anything you want on TV. You don't have to share it. I'm just going at her, trying to remind her there's something worse than being single, and that is being married to the wrong person. So chill out. Like, Don't let your feelings take you places that you don't need to be. Come against that. Fight against that. Thank the Lord for the blessing in your life. Because you know what that feeling will do? It will then lead to a belief in your life. So people who get lonely, I don't know why I'm saying this, but somebody needs this. People who get lonely will go from feeling lonely into a belief that I'm not lovable, I'm not attractive, no one wants me. And then you start to believe these lies that originate in the feeling. That's why your pastor is working extra hard and screaming extra loud a little bit in this series and using something like WTF to get your attention. Because I want to remind you that those are just feelings. You don't want to trust your feelings. Come on, you don't want to build your life on your feelings. One more kind of flip it just a little bit, and let me talk about it this way. Sometimes when you're asking God for a better life and more wisdom in your life, God will send you wisdom, and He will send you progress in the form of other people. So there are people who come in, maybe probably even this weekend, people will come to church at Champion Center, and first of all, the name Champions, like, they're in their head, they're like, well, I'm not one of those. And then they get here and they see people who are clapping and cheering and, you know, that kind of thing, and they're like, well, I don't guess I fit. Like, I could never be like these people. I don't measure up. I don't fit in. Me and my wife fight all the time. I don't know anything about the Bible. And those feelings start to create a distance between you, if this fits you, or that person who God has actually brought to a house of imperfect people who are in the same body of flesh like you're in, who have weakness and faults just like you have. But we're on a journey of overcoming and conquering. And the worst thing that anybody can do is to count yourself out of what God has included you in. Like, you belong with your imperfection, like you belong. And to be intimidated out because someone's a little further along than you are, or someone has a victory in an area of their life that you don't have victory yet, is a work of feelings that is happening all the time with people. And people get stuck because they get around someone who's a little bit further along, maybe makes a little bit more money than they do, or has done better in a certain area of their life, and then they start to feel intimidated. And there's a lot of different reactions. Sometimes when you feel intimidated, you get critical of that person, and you will try to bring them down. Or you might get jealous. You might have some sort of an issue that you start making out of no issue, when in reality, God's just bringing people into your life for the purpose of answering your prayer. The prayers you prayed about wisdom and guidance. And so I want to encourage you, and I hope if this shoe fits, that you will put it on and remember this, because the right people, they might know more scripture than you know. They might be more disciplined than you are. Like, I know what it's like. A few years ago, when I was big and overweight and gotten beyond me, you know, I got out of playing sports in high school and it just ballooned up. I know what it feels like. I walked into a gym and I wanted to run the other way, like everybody walking around, you know, like in shape. And here I am sitting down and having to tell them how much I weigh and what my diet is. And you just feel like, I don't belong, man. I don't want to come back here. Am I relating to you today? And I want to encourage you, push past the feeling. Like, don't trust the feeling. People are not thinking as bad about you as you imagine they're thinking about you. Like when you step into that new space and you don't know much about the Bible, or you're not as disciplined, or you don't make as much money, people are not thinking what you're thinking about yourself. What you're thinking and imagining and your feelings a lot of times is like, oh, I'm such a wimp. And they're thinking, so brave of you to actually be here and to come to church, because none of your family goes to church, and your mom and dad doesn't go to church, and your friends don't go to church, but look at you, you're coming to church. Yeah. I say this a lot, I'm going to keep saying it, comfort is way overrated. Comfort is way overrated. Ask that mama, 8 months pregnant, if she's comfortable, she will slap you. But ask her, do you want the baby? And she will say, absolutely. But I got to be uncomfortable in the process of going where I am meant to go. Don't be hungry for comfort. Be hungry for all God has for you. Come on, be hungry for the best version of who God created you to be.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give, or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.